Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
Okay, so listeners, welcome back to Three Men for Thee. If you recall, last week we interviewed Anna Chernikova, who's working to help the refugees in Ukraine. And actually, the week before that, we had Christian Hickey on. And we started talking to him, and he lost power. He lost internet connections. Because he was in Kyiv, and you know the war situation going on there. So we're trying again today with you, Christian, and we're so blessed that we made the connection, and we're so excited to hear your story and what you can share with us. We usually start out by having our guests share how they came to find Christ, and then we'll talk about how he's led you on your mission now.
Yes, sir. Awesome. Yeah, I'd be glad to share it. I met Jesus when I was about 10 years old in High Springs, Florida. My cousin and I were sitting in bunk bed, and he came from a well, solid, rooted Christian family. And so over the years of visiting him on holidays and stuff, I would just came to know like his character and the way his family acted different. And I was like, well, what is this about? Like, what is Jesus about? And he led me to Christ one night in bunk bed, that bathroom. I remember it vividly. And I came to know Jesus Christ. And since then, I have been filled with the Holy Spirit and have been living this life that God has for me. So it's been great.
Now, that's super. I sympathize with that because that was about the age that I came to Christ through a friend. Yeah. Isn't it amazing, Alan? And I love to hear that. And that's why we ask. Yeah. Because it amazes me how God reaches out to all of us. He reaches out to all of us. And usually, not always, but usually as youngsters or somewhere young, either 10, 11, teenagers, sometimes 6, 7, 8 years old. But most of the people, I bet if we go back through our interviews and we look at that question that you just answered, we're going to hear that same kind of answer, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, somewhere in there. I bet through 95%, wouldn't you say, of the guys, people that we've interviewed?
Could be. Could be.
I think you might be on to something. Right around there where people have the ability to comprehend what's going on.
Yeah.
So tell us what you're doing in Kyiv right now.
So in Kyiv, this is where I my family lives in Kyiv. We moved here about 2 months ago. Well, my family moved over about 2 months ago. I've been here since April, working alongside the Ukrainian people, ministering to them, and so this is Kyiv is the like where I've led to house my family while I am out in the mission field. So on the weekends, I try to go home Friday and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then I usually on Monday I will be back on the road to go back east. So it's just tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning I'm going to Kherson. Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
So it's morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll go by, pick up another fella here, and then we'll head down to Mykolaiv, where we're going to make food bags, approximately 1,000 food bags, and then we're going to take those food bags straight into Kherson. So
Wow. So tell me, Christian, how did all this get started? Was this happened in a dream that the Lord said, "Hey, I want you to get up and do this," or tell us how that got going?
Well, not my idea. Not my idea at all. Only the Lord can come up with an unconventional missionary, right? Or they even probably have the brain cells to put this together. So it's like a long ago, when I was about 12 years old, God spoke to me in a church down in Belmore, Florida, which is between Middleburg and Keystone, so vividly that I looked around in the pew because I wasn't paying attention. I looked around the pew, he would see who was talking to me. And it was the Lord speaking and telling me that I was going to be in ministry. But that was so long ago. I'm 41 now. It wasn't until this year that God tapped me on the shoulder and says, okay, now it's time to go. I'm calling you now. But imagine that's almost 20 years of just, living with the Holy Spirit. You've been making your own decisions, falling off the train sometimes, getting all these career decisions, and then God taking all your decisions, both terrible ones and good ones, and said, putting them together and said, I still can use you. I purpose for you. Here it is. And when he revealed it to me at the beginning of this year, wow. You talk about, come down and put your foot on you, or his finger on you. The pressure was so great that I only lasted 3 days until I was like, okay, I'm going. I'm out. I'm doing it. And so lasted 3 days with the Lord's finger on my heart. And I wrote a letter because at the time, I'm still in the National Guard. So I'm still in the National Guard. I still serve our country. But I was a police officer full time. And I worked 3 days. When I came back to work, and I worked 3 days, and I turned a letter in on the third day to my chief and requesting a leave of absence to go and serve in Ukraine. And he granted me about 2 weeks later. I didn't know it at the time. I basically said, I have to leave. I'm sorry. And I wrote the letter scripturally because I knew he was a Christian and he would understand it. And I found out 2 weeks later he accepted it and granted me the leave. So hallelujah.
Well, you're following the biblical pattern. Moses got called at 40, so it's quite common for people to get called in their 40s.
Well, this guy's not even 30 years old yet. What are you talking about?
No, I'm 40.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I turned
Yeah, but
41.
I don't believe you'll make it another 80 years, Christian.
Oh, I think we're in the days of Noah, so you're about that right. Hallelujah.
Well, you mentioned about what you were doing next, but give us a little better overview of all the things that you do, the breadth of your ministry, because when I read your read all the information on it, there's a lot more to what you're doing.
Yeah, so when I came over, I said, okay, I'm gonna come over, Lord, and I followed this path that every time there was a moment where a miracle needed to happen. Well, guess what? A miracle happened. And just a chain of events getting passed through the country because I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I was going to walk out the Great Commission and I knew that's what, that's the point of this ministry, but I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I ended up meeting a pastor down in Mykolaiv who said, you know what, Christian, come with me. I will take you around. I want you to look at what's happening here and then let God reveal to you exactly what your ministry is. And about the third or fourth, probably that was the fourth military unit I came in contact with just pleaded with me to like train them, pleaded with me, please help us. One time I went to a unit and they were zero in their AK-47s. They were trying to zero their AK-47s in. And they hold me up a piece of paper, and I look at the piece of paper, and it's just like a buckshot. I mean, it was like a bird shot hit it. It was just terrible. And this guy came up to me and goes, can you please help me? I have no idea. And my heart just like went out to these people because they have been called to serve their country, and they're not, you know, they don't have the skill set to do it. And it took about three of those incidents where I just, okay, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And that door kept opening. And so, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I worked it out where I can provide these guys life-saving skills and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ at the same time, which was just the time that happened. Because sometimes in ministry, or sometimes we get so busybody in ministry that we just want to help. And then we kind of like get away from the gospel, which is kind of weird. You know, we want to give food and we get out of there. We want to, you know, provide whatever service we're providing and just completely ignore gospel. Or not to like be solely in it, right? And so it worked out where, okay, I gave the life and skills and said, hey guys, I want to share you my life and what makes me operate, what makes me do what I do. And that particular, almost 99% of the soldiers in that group gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And wow. It literally it shook me to the bone where I never experienced something like that in my life. I've been on a mission. You share the gospel, you go to church. Have I ever experienced that type of almost started like times that I have in Ukraine that I have laughed because when Jesus shows up, it's just overwhelming. That's all you can do is just like, wow. So this has been happening all this going from God saving, given the gospel. I mean, you talk about just a sense of peace, you know, not have to worry about just peace, because we're not safe. We're not in safe locations. I understand the book of Psalms way more than I ever did in my life. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about, I understand what David's talking about when Psalms 91, and I live in Psalms 91, or most of the Psalms now, because it's just, I never had that type of predicament where the fear was so great, or the possibility of being dead like that was so great that it's a very well, a very good understanding now of why the book of Psalms is written. Because, you know, I don't have to be afraid of the terrorists by night or the arrows that fly by day. And that's twofold because, you know, I'm called here. This is not my idea. I'm just trying to be obedient. So I know I'm standing on, you know, solid ground. Hallelujah. I get excited. And then the other said, absent of the body is in the presence of God. So either way, I'm good. I mean, so we're great. So that's the type of faith I've been dealt according to Paul, you know, but there is limitations. I know where my limitation is. I know exactly where that limitation is. I've never had somebody, when I say out faith me before, it has happened, because when I say that these guys on the front lines are absolute heroes, we don't understand what these soldiers are dealing with on the front lines. And maybe that's why I kind of compare it to the plow has been set. The field is torn. It is ready to be sowed. These guys are ready to receive Jesus because they are dealing with something that they have no idea how to deal with. And they are looking for something. And to be able to provide that eternal salvation, not me, but to show them where it is, this is it, and have an overwhelming response is, wow, what a privilege. Because I know I'm not perfect. I know there's things in my life that I'm not proud of. And God still decided to still use me. Wow. I'm so humbled and privileged to be able to do this. You know, I haven't I haven't received a paycheck since January, February of this past year, but God always shows up and always shows up, you know, because, you know, it's just biblical, right? So, and this whole thing's been biblical. I mean, from the food that's been provided to housing for me, for my wife and I, and then me just going throughout the country. It's just been, wow, what a walking out of my faith and be able to see God's word, like, show up, you know, big way.
And your wife is with you there and your children also?
Yeah, so in about, well, January, February, March, in June, I was injured and
yeah, I saw your leg. I saw your wound on your leg.
So I ended up taking an AK-47 round to my leg. And what a blessing, or count, you know, James says, count it all blessing. That revealed to me, I was on path. I think that was the only way I was going to come home and get my family was if I was shot. So that particular path allowed me to come home, and my leg needed to be treated properly because it was not treated properly. It was taken care of by an American doctor, fixed properly. And then that's when God revealed to me, hey, you're full time, which means if God's number one, your family coming right next with you. So then I said, okay, God, I'm good with it. You know, I understand that I'm safer in the obedience of Christ than I am safe in the streets of Gainesville as a police officer, if that's not where I'm called to be. Or with my family, we can get hit by a car just as easy as being here. So I feel safer right here in the obedience than I would be in the disobedience doing my own thing in Florida with my family. And that's a whole nother worm, because you're talking about where God, you know, is he, when he's in something, he changed the heart of my wife to say, yeah, let's sell everything we have and come over here and do this. And that's exactly what we did. So in June, I came back for 12 days, put my house up on the market, sold everything we have.
Jeez.
And my wife stayed there to do the finalizing of the house. And then as soon as the house sold, she came, followed me. And I picked the kids up and my wife in Poland a couple months ago.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I was going to ask you if you hadn't mentioned it about your wife, because having done some things that require faith, I remember when I'd only been married about a year or so when I got a call to go to Christian college, and it was requiring us to move about almost 1,000 miles from where we were. And this is just in the United States. I mean, this is not doing like what you did and moving all the way to a war-torn country like Ukraine. So when you mentioned that about the Lord working on your wife's heart, I know exactly what you're talking about. That is something only the Lord can do, and it's amazing. It's a great testimony.
How old are your children?
6, 4, and 2.
Wow.
So we just had a birthday here.
Your wife's got her hand. Your wife's got her own battlefield.
She does have a battlefield here. And she, she's probably the strongest person. I know she's the strongest person I know. Because 6, 4, and 2, we call them deployment babies, because every one of those babies is either before or after deployment. So, and now we're working on a Ukrainian baby. So we already have an African baby, a German baby, and a one American baby. Now we're working on our Ukrainian baby. So she's definitely super strong here. I mean, because you got, so one instance, I was down in on the front lines, in the trenches with my Bible, just trying to be a blessing to these guys. So I don't carry no communication down there when I'm in the trenches with them, because I don't want to be the guy that is at fault for causing a rocket or something to come in. And so my wife was here when Kiev got attacked by the drones that 4 or 5 weeks ago now. So she had to deal with that all by herself. And a trooper she was. She had everything in order, as far as she got everything in order, had the kids ready to leave, had the, you know, bag bags packed. She was ready to push to, that was our contingency plan, was her to push to Poland if anything happened. And so yeah, she's definitely a trooper, and I'm very, very, very happy and excited and thankful that she's right here by my side. So
Amen.
so we've got a pretty large American audience, and what would you like to say to some of the ex-military people in America? Because I know the AAA authority, you're still recruiting for help for people to come and join your organization. So what would you like to tell the American military people?
Well, before
Yeah.
you do that,
Oh,
Christian,
okay.
if you could just explain a little more about your organization, what can, I mean, maybe you can't. Can you give us
Yeah.
the name and tell us a little bit about it, and then go on what
Absolutely.
groups it.
So I'm full above board missionary. There is nothing secret, whole lot of something special about this missionary, but or this ministry, but nothing. I'm not trying to hide anything that I'm doing. God created it, so if they got people got a problem with it, that they can take it up with Jesus. And that just because, unfortunately, churches don't like to see me with soldiers, and I don't understand it whatsoever. I don't understand it. I've reached out to so many, like when I first came over here, because I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills, and I was just trying to put videos of me. You know, there's probably six videos on my website right now with soldiers saying, "I want Jesus," and accepting Jesus Christ, or wanting to give the invitation. Say, look up and say, "Yeah, that's what I want. Whatever what you just said, I want to do that." And we'll go through an invitation with them. No support from churches, not none. Like it's like, wow, it's all fundamental Christians who like, you know what? That's exactly what that I'm about is. I'm not bragging. This ministry has probably served over 1,000 troops. I'm here to say over 800 of them accepted Jesus Christ as a personal savior.
Wow. Wow.
Hallelujah. And so that's what we do. We gain access and placement with soldiers wherever they're at. We come to them and I give them skills that they want. Most of that is medical, 100% medical, like how to save your brother's life, how to. You know, do TCCC, you know, tactical combat casualty care. Very, very simple, like simple basic stuff. And then that gives me time with the soldiers for about 6 hours. They see how we talk, how we operate, how we communicate, how we do things. And then at the end, I give them an invitation. I just tell give them a short 10-minute, this is who Jesus is. If you want, you know, this is what you're about. If you want this. And it's been, you know, great. That's pretty much what we do. Now, this winter, God has revealed to me this is going to be a problem this winter. There are going to be people who die, 99% elderly folks who are going to die in the East because they are going to freeze to death in their house. So I have been in the Northeast, which is the coldest portion of the country, which is near Kharkiv, east of Kharkiv, Kupiansk, 2 miles, less than. Two clicks from the border of Russia, identifying as many people as I can identify who are high threat, high, like I basically take them food, I take them heating source, firewood, and just love on them, pray with them, share the gospel with them. And I got a little circuit that I'm doing over there. And then eventually, when I come to the village, I'm not going to see somebody. I'm not going to see where's Aunt Susie at? You know, she was here 2 weeks ago when I came through to get food. She's not here now. Did she go home or did she evacuate? I'm like, no, we haven't seen Aunt Susie. And then we'll go knock on Aunt Susie's door. And unfortunately, because of the weather and the conditions that they are, the situation they're in, they're going to be elderly folks who freeze to death in their homes. And I don't judge them on it. Like, these people are the most sweetest people. I love them to death. That's their home. You're asking somebody to leave everything they know into what? Some to get into a system that they have no idea where they're going to end up or how the foundation of the system is. Like they won't know. And so I don't judge them. I'm like, you want to stay in your home? That's your business. I will provide you the food. I'll bring you firewood. I'll do whatever I can to help you facilitate that. But I would, you know, there's a very high risk people in the East who are going to unfortunately pass away. And so we have been geared up to try to handle that as best we can. So I haven't been the last month. I have not been in the trenches with the soldiers. I have been delivering, because all that up in the north just got liberated last month. So we're talking several villages who are now liberated, who need food. And so we'll work with local big organizations who have purchased metric tons of food, but don't have the action arm to deliver that food into high-risk places. And so that's what we've been doing the last month now, is doing that. It's the same thing we're going to do tomorrow in Kherson. So
let me just share this information with you. There's a group of men and women here in North Carolina with an organization called Troika. And we've been going to Ukraine for many years now, teaching classes. And we just shipped over 5 pallets of clothing, 4x4x12 feet tall, full of clothes and medicines. And those, I think, have arrived in Poland. They're going to be picked up by the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv. So I don't know what their plans are for the total distribution, but if you need clothing, you might want to reach out to the seminary there in Lviv, and they may have some additional resources available for you.
Okay. The
Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv.
Awesome. I my contact in Kharkiv is a Baptist. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and I ended up going to seminary at Liberty. But I love him over in the East, because he is no bones about it. He's a straight shooter. He just gives it like it is. This culture has a unfortunately a how would you call it without being disrespectful, has a way of doing things. It's all really, really who you know, and bureaucracy is what you'd call it. It has a terrible bureaucracy. It took me 2 hours today to open up a bank account. That's how long it took me, 2 hours.
Yeah. It used to be worse than that. I've been to Ukraine 10, I've been to Ukraine 10 times, but I was primarily down in the Crimea area, which has now been taken over by Russia, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's also a thing called Russian time, which is 2 hours later than you're supposed to start something. Tell me, Christian, what is the morale of the soldiers as a whole?
As a whole, I think, especially with this Kherson retaking over of territory, not that there wasn't a lot of soldiers. The last place I was on the front line was down in Kherson. And I was with a unit who had been there 5 months. And I've never been, I'm talking, it's terrifying. It is absolute. I've never been shot at by a tank before. And just to sit there and get shot at by a tank over and over and over, like, I didn't know a tank round snapped when it went by it, but it does. Or the just the relentless bombardment of air and the freedom of movement of drones, enemy drones, who literally, I got shot at by everything, even the machine gun bunker that was 1,400 meters away, only because their enemy drones have freedom of movement, so they can direct their fires right on top of you. I deal with that for 3 days. Terrifying experience. Not to mention the landmines. I didn't even thought about that. But those guys have been dealing that for 5 months in that one location. 5 months in that one location. I love them to death. They are the most heroic men I've ever stepped in side by side in a trench with. Like, never has an American soldier had to deal with that. especially in today's military. Never. So we're talking a completely different type of war. When's the last time we've been in trench warfare or somebody has those capabilities? Wow. Could not believe what they were dealing with. Now, so those guys have been dealing with that. The morale would have to be, wow, like just, I don't want to say low, but battered, you know, just when is it going to end? There's no end. Like when did, it's just 5 months, 6 months in this trench just getting, and they're rotating in. Like they'll rotate a squad in and a squad will come out. Doing that for 6 months, and you're just getting shot at and just, they're losing guys because some of those rounds land and hit. The trench that I was in, two Ukrainian soldiers had died the previous rotation. So it's like battered, I would say, tired. Now, the guys, you know, this previous taking over Kherson, I mean, that's just a morale shot. You know, that's great. But that's in one small location right now. You're talking this line is huge. The area around Bakhmut, Donetsk, huge fighting right now. And unfortunately, all those soldiers that were in Kherson, they're going to swing right around to that area to try to keep Ukraine from taking that land bridge away. So the more soldiers are going to die, unfortunately. More soldiers are going to have to be put in harm's way. And so I feel for them. But they're definitely battered. Definitely battered. It's a very, very sad situation. Now, some news organizations, they completely mischaracterize Ukraine's fighting force and their capabilities. These people are, I've never had a force that you could teach them one thing, one time. I'm talking, you know, they just get it. They understand it. They're learning the hard way because, you know, if they don't learn the hard way, something bad happens. So these guys are just on top of things. They're adapting to this war quickly. But they still have that mindset of there's still a lack of, I want to call it a dominant mindset, where you control the battlefield, you set the conditions, you're in charge, you create, you allow your enemy to put them in their OODA loop, or put them, what we call it, on their thinking phase. So there's still those hiccups there, or there's that type of mindset that is not the dominant mindset in a war like this. But they're learning fast, and I stand with them. So
how is the communication working? Because, you know, obviously you're speaking English and not Ukrainian. So how is that working in the field?
I have
at your translator right now.
I don't call him a translator. He's upstairs. He's my cultural advisor. He's my brother in Christ. You're talking about somebody I ran into at a rehabilitation center, who was working there, solid Christian, had actually, you know, had hard times. He did some things he's not proud of himself. And God had basically put him in a holding pattern at this. He got deported from America. He's spending more time in America than he has Ukraine, but he's born in Ukrainian. And so he got put in time out for a little while, 5-7 years in this rehabilitation center. And then I come bebopping along, and there happened to be a Ukrainian military unit using their facility. And I said, hey, you mind translating? Because I'm going to preach a little bit. He said, yeah. And so he did that one time for me. And I said, listen, I don't know where this is going, but I got a feeling I'm going to be back. And when I do, if you would like a position or, you know, to come with me, I would like for you to have him. And then literally a month later, I came back through there and asked him if he wanted to be a part of this. And he said, yes. And he has been by my side. I mean, he's in my house right now with my family. So that's how close he is to me. Like, he's my brother. To be able to, wow. You know, huge. Don't get me choked up talking about it. He's just a very blessing to have to be able to, because he's really doing all the speaking. I communicate and I can articulate through my expressions, projecting my voice what I'm trying to say. But he's the one that's taking what I say, looking at it scripturally to make sure you translate it scripturally, because you got to have a Christian translator. If you're not, you're not going to have
Right.
idiomatics and stuff like that. It's not going to be right.
Right.
Scripture is not going to be right. And taking it from English, putting it through a Christian ideology, and then pushing it back out in Ukrainian. So you're talking about a huge person that's pivotal in this ministry. So yeah, I love him. He's awesome.
So what, how do you get financial support?
So my website, I have a link on there, and I know people who come out and volunteer. When I say I sold everything, that's my financial support. I had literally sold everything I have,
Is it
except my
okay? Is
truck.
it okay if we post that link on this video?
Yes,
Yeah, okay.
absolutely. So like when I say I haven't taken a paycheck, any money that comes in, I usually those guys who have one of a blessing, Hadrian, what a man of God. He's the one out of faith me on the battlefield. And this goes to back into recruiting. My idea of having somebody next to me is like, yeah, I want a 12-man ODA. I want, 12 other Green Berets. I want this guy to be specialized in this guy, and I want the best of the best, cream of the crop. You know what guy's gonna has provided the people in my life in this ministry that needed to be next to me at every single point. And in just because it doesn't fit the mold that I see in my worldly lens, man, he has put the right people alongside me to help this ministry. And one of them is a Royal Marine, former Royal Marine, now U.S. citizen as of like 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, but pivotal, like solid Christians who have been able, because it's hard. You're talking, it's really, really hard to deal with this. I don't want to say stresses, but the anxiety. Like when you hear these rockets come in, you just don't know. You like literally, you're like, is this, you wake up in the middle of the night with just boom, S-300 just came in and landed somewhere in your vicinity. And there's usually a barrage of them. That's this huge, that's a lot to worry about. But so we come together and as Christians and as strong believers, and like we'll get up and pray right in the middle of that particular barrage, or we'll just strengthen each other. So yeah, God has provided the people that I needed right next to me, right every step of the way. And not all like 220 just Green Beret machines. We're talking he was 56-year-old former Green Beret, but an old a gentleman, a very, very now PA. And he was knocking on my door, Christian, I want to come. Christian, I want to come. And every night I would come out of their field, he would be on the phone with me. And I said, God, is this the guy you want me to come over? Yeah, that's the guy. And he came over, and a former Delta, 18 Delta, now PA. And we started teaching TCCC. After the 20th class, he had answered. They would ask him hard questions, and you get the same questions over and over again at every class. How long can you keep a tourniquet on? What do you do for internal injuries? All these very, as an 18 problem, I wouldn't know the answer to these questions. But listening to him answer every question that needed to be asked and that was answered, he answered it. Well, guess what? Now I know the answers to the test. So it's like, wow, he equipped me to answer these difficult questions. And, he was such a good person to have. He gave great sound advice. And so,
We all need Calebs around. That's what encourages me.
and tell us your connection with Daniel Elkins.
he's such a good brother. Like I reached out, I saw him on LinkedIn, and because you're talking small circles over here, and there's not many Americans, working in Ukraine as far as it's, there's more multiplying, but especially in the beginning, there wasn't a lot. And how it was through LinkedIn, a message on LinkedIn, and we called each other and talked for a little bit, and then our relationship has, grown as a working relationship, working side by side each other. And yeah, he's definitely a strong person to have, with you, especially trying to tackle something like this. You're talking, he is the SME for the DoD in Ukraine. When I say DoD, Department of Defense, he was the liaison that sat in this embassy down the road here between the years of like 16, 17-ish. And so that's somebody that you want to help you tackle things that you have no idea what you're dealing with. So that's how we came in contact, was through LinkedIn, and then we've worked right along. So I saw the interview y'all did with him, and I said, you know what? I'm sure people want to know about, my goal is I just want people to know that no matter where you're at in your Christian walk, God's not done with you. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like, I don't care what you've done, what problems you have. If God's called you for a purpose, he's not done with you. So don't give up on that. And turn to Christ and get back on track and ride out. Because we're not at the end of the day, it's our works that get put into the fiery furnace, and that's what's left. And our sin is obviously covered by Jesus. So we need to get after it while we still can.
Amen. Well,
Don't give up. So
what kind of message would you like to maybe share with the Ukrainians and perhaps share with the Americans?
okay, so this was kind of, and I'll share it with the story that I've preached many times. When I was coming in the beginning of this thing 4 or 5 months ago, people would say, "Hey, Christian, when are you gonna bring the tanks? When are you gonna give me more? Where's America gonna give us more javelins? When are we gonna get jets?" And I'd have a really, a you know what? Do you want to know why America was so successful and why we were successful? I'm like, why? I said, you know what? It's not the tanks, it's not the jets, it's not the javelin. We were founded on Christianity, and that's why we were so successful. You want to be successful? You get with Christ, and you'll see the difference between what you're dealing with now and what you're dealing with when you have Christ next to you. And so
Wow, that's a
that's
great
been
point.
very, very, yeah. It has been very, like, very eye-opening. And then, like, for the Ukrainian people, wow, this is what, 8, 9 months war now. We're living in the end of days. I believe we are. I can't imagine relying on your own self circle or self to deal with the problems that you're dealing with right now. There's a reason why Russia is pushed into Ukraine, and I can tell you right now, there's more Christians in Ukraine right now than there was 8 months ago. There's more people turned to Christ right now in Ukraine than there was 8 months ago. So the people say, what did Ukraine do? I hear this question, what did Ukraine do to deserve, Russia to push in? Why is God punishing it? No, God's not punishing Ukraine. God's trying to awaken Ukraine and say, hey, there's a Jesus, or there's a God, and he has a son. His name's Christ, and he died for our sins. And so this is your time to become aware of that. I tell them, I said, you know what? I'm not here to preach to you. I'm not here to put any rules on you. I'm not here to judge you anyway. I just want to tell you what the facts are, and you can accept it or you don't. And the great thing about Jesus, he's not going to force you to do anything that that you don't want to do. So if you don't want to accept him now, he's not going to force you when he comes back to accept him, or when you die, he's not going to force you to accept him. You're going to do exactly what you're asked, which is have separation from Christ or God for the rest of your life, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, something to keep in mind. is that we've in our Bible fellowship class on Sundays, we've been studying the book of Ezekiel now for 26, 27 weeks. And something that you learn, you see a pattern all the way through Ezekiel. You see where Israel is, God allows war to happen for a purpose. It's not just because he's mean. It's not just because he has nothing else to do. It's for a purpose. It's always a purpose. So as you correctly pointed out, with Ukraine, God has allowed this to come for a purpose. And we're seeing some of that purpose right here as you're talking about it. We're hearing people come to Christ who probably would never have come to Christ otherwise. But God, in his mercy, and as crazy as some people may think that is, that you have to go to the battlefield to meet Jesus, but sometimes he takes that. And sometimes it takes that to wake a nation up. So God bless you. God bless all the Ukrainians who have come to Christ that we see. I'm just hearing so many amazing things. We've had such an association just with our Bible fellowship class was here in the last 6 months or so, maybe even longer than that. A number of people, just like yesterday, what was the guy's name, Herb, that came into the class?
Ihor.
Yeah. We've had folks like that who are giving us testimonies of God and how God's working in their lives and in the lives of Americans who he is calling to come over there. And then we have a fellow like that who comes over here and he tells us the results of God moving on Americans to help and the organizations that are there. So I know that war is ugly and terrible, but there is an ultimate good that's going to come out of this. And when I hear stories like what you're saying, I just can't tell you how that uplifts my heart. Thank you for sharing some of these stories and what you're going through. Believe me, buddy, you are on our prayer list.
Christian, other than prayer, what else do you need?
Direction. I get over here and I always tell, one of the first things that I learned was thank God for closed doors, because I was traveling along the Black Sea and I thought I was at the end of the road. And so I said, well, there's an American pastor that's in Odessa. I'm gonna go meet him. And so I went and met this American pastor, and I felt more rejected by somebody my whole entire life. Like he, but I learned to thank God for closed doors, because he rejected me. And, but during that rejection, there was a Ukrainian chaplain in that congregation who heard me. And so I told my driver, I said, just take me as far north as you will. But this was outside of Odessa. It was a small town. He's like, if you'll take me there and just drop me off, I'll get my rucksack out and I'm going to start walking. I'll walk to the first trench line I meet. During that process, that Ukrainian chaplain called my driver and said, hey, where are you? And he's like, I'm just outside Odessa. I'm going to drop this American off. He said, let me know where you're letting drop him off at, because I'm going to send somebody to him. And that's what's kicked this whole thing off. I ended up meeting a chaplain, a higher ranking chaplain, on the seas of the Black, on the Black Sea beach, just my rucksack and me, my Bible. And first thing I said, I know you don't understand me, but I'm going to get on my knees and pray. Because if you're any type of a Christian, you'll know what this prayer, you'll know this love language, you'll understand it. And after we had finished talking, he says, hey, through his translator, he says, hey, you want to come with me? And I was like, yeah, I have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else where I'm going. And that opened up. He was a chaplain to a brigade in the Mykolaiv. And he took me around every day. He set up a training schedule. Every day I would just see new soldiers, all in their locations. And that was an amazing. So, yeah, direction. Because, I don't want to get pulled down a path that I haven't got no business down.
Yeah.
I ain't never shot around here. I never done anything that would cause, people to be – Been in the front lines, I've been in the trenches, but never have I ever like shot at a Russian or anything like that. I tell people I'm not here to shed any blood. I'm here to tell people about blood that was shed from them a long time ago.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Which means being in dangerous places. So
yeah. Well, Christian, you know, thank you so much. We're just blessed that the power hasn't gone out, and that the computer system is still working. And we will certainly, you know, post this message and send you some links. We will also post your website with contact information if others want to reach out to you. And I'll reach out to you a little bit later and share some additional information with you also. So, you know.
That's great. I'm still looking for, I'm an unsupported missionary. There you go. I'm looking for a church that wants somebody out here walking out faith and wants results. Everybody else wants results. Like, I want to see, I want numbers. Well, guess what? All my numbers are verified by videos. You want numbers? Look at the videos. And it's people to come to know Christ. I still haven't, you know, secured, you know, a church that would support me as a missionary. And I am definitely looking for one.
Well, maybe I should post something on that little image that says, "The church is searching for Christian. Let's pray that you find him."
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So,
well, we'll see.
Thank
what,
you, brother, so much.
Yes, God we bless
will
you.
We will be praying for you for sure.
Yeah, and, hey. And we'll do. We'll try to do more than that when we can. I know that Herb will gather up the information that we need so that we can stay in contact with you and give you some much needed support. So, amen, brother. Thank you. Yep. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak on Jesus' behalf. I just want to tell a story. Nothing I want to do is bring any attention to myself. Everything I want to do just points to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as
received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool. If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.